Isaiah chapter 50. Isaiah chapter 50 is a wonderful passage that encourages us to seek the guidance of the Lord. Having some good guidance is really a wonderful thing and can make a great difference in your life. As God continues to reveal His promised plan to us through His servant, Jesus Christ, we are compelled to let the Lord guide us. It's so good to know that we can get good guidance from the Lord, that He will guide us. And all of us need some guidance in our lives every once in a while. I remember as a youngster, just coming out of junior high school and going into high school, I didn't have any desire to go to college. I didn't have any desire to have any more education than I already had. I already thought I had too much anyways. Eighth grade, you know. So I really wasn't seeking any good route for education in my life. And my guidance counselor in high school, he brought me into the office and he said, "Bill, you know, I think you've got potential to go to college. I think you need to take college prep courses." And so he was the one that guided me to take college prep courses. And I'm glad he did, because obviously that was part of God's plan for my life, was to go to college. We all need guidance sometimes. And we can get good guidance from God, and He will give us guidance through His Holy Spirit and through other godly people. And with that comes blessings. I want us to understand that God has promised to guide His children. Just a couple chapters before Isaiah 50, in verse 17 and 18, He says this: "Thus says the Lord your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God." And notice what He says next: "Who teaches you to profit, who leads you by the way you should go. Oh, that you heeded my commandments, then your peace would have been like a river, and your righteousness like the waves of the sea." You see, God wants to give you peace. He wants you to prosper. He wants to help you in your life. But you got to seek His guidance. Now, He promises that He will guide you. But you got to accept that guidance. And that's what we see here in Isaiah chapter 50. He's talking to a people who He longs to guide, the nation of Israel. God longs to guide these folks, but they have rejected His guidance. And so now we see the Lord talking to them and saying, "Look, I want you to see the difference that a life of accepting my guidance can make in this world, as opposed to a life that rejects my guidance." And He uses His servant, who we know to be the Savior, Jesus, as this example of someone who accepts God's guidance. And we know while Jesus was on this earth that He did just that. He would pray often for the guidance of the Father. And so He would do His will. And that is what God wants for us. That is what He wants for us. Jesus has always been and always will be our perfect example of how He wants us to follow Him. So in Isaiah chapter 50, we see a passage of Scripture that compels us to seek the guidance of the Lord. The choice is ours. We can accept the guidance of the Lord or deal with the consequences of rejecting that guidance. What I would like us to see is how this passage contrasts a life that accepts God's guidance, His servant, Jesus, with those who reject God's guidance, who at this point was Israel. Okay? In the process, we will be faced with a choice: God's guidance or consequences. So let's take a look at verse 1. It says, "Where is the certificate of your mother's divorce? Whom I have put away? Or which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? For your iniquities you have sold yourselves, and for your transgressions your mother has been put away. Why, when I came, was there no man? Why, when I called, was there none to answer? Is my hand shortened at all that it cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver? Indeed, with my rebuke I dry up the sea. I make the rivers a wilderness. Their fish stink because there is no water, and die of thirst. I clothe the heavens with blackness, and I make sackcloth their covering." Now, the first thing I want you to understand about this passage and about God's guidance is we can choose to accept God's guidance or live in the bondage of sin. We can choose to accept God's guidance or live in the bondage of sin. Now, God opens this passage by asking Israel if they really believe God had rejected them. He says, "Did I divorce your mom? Did I divorce your mom?" Or did, referring to them as his children. Then God asks if he couldn't pay his bills or sold them into slavery. The answer to both these questions is no. No, God isn't the one who's doing the rejecting here. God is there with open arms saying, "Please, seek me and I will guide you. If you will come to me and acknowledge me, I will help you. I will guide you in the ways of righteousness. I will guide you to a path that leads to peace and joy in your life." But they had rejected. Israel was not in captivity and bondage because God had rejected them. They had rejected him. So because they had rejected the guidance of the Lord, they found themselves in bondage. Notice it says, "Behold, for your iniquities you have been sold. You have sold yourselves." It's because of their own love for sin and their rejection of God's guidance that they have sold themselves. Now, this term, "sold themselves," tells us something about sin. When we reject God's guidance, we sell ourselves over to the bondage of sin. You see, when we reject God, we lose our freedom. We actually lose freedom. Because God is the one that gives us grace to be free from the bondage of sin. And without that grace to be freed from the bondage of sin, then we are simply trapped. We are enslaved to our sins. Now, your sins may be different than others. Your sins may even be unnoticeable to many. They might not be outward as others. But nonetheless, you're bound by them. It might be your pride. It might be your anger. It might be your selfishness. It might be your covetousness. Whatever it may be, it is binding you. It's not freeing you. You may think that, "Oh, I'm free from doing what God wants me to do. I can do what I want to do." But what you're doing is simply being controlled by your sinful nature. And it will always lead you to a path of bondage. It may be a path where you are financially hindered in your life because of your covetousness and greed. It may be because of your addiction that you are bound to something. But whatever it is, it will be binding. When we take the guidance of the Lord, he frees us from our sin and guides us as we are tempted by sin. He helps us overcome those things. He alerts us when we're about to fall into the bondage of sin, because His Holy Spirit is indwelling us, and we are looking for His guidance in our lives. And boy, He can really help us avoid a lot of pitfalls in our lives. I'm reminded of the prodigal son and the bad decisions that he made because he wanted his way. He didn't want to be guided by the Father, so he decided he was going to do things his way. And what happened? Because of a cycle of bad decisions that he made because he wasn't taking the guidance of the Father, he ended up in the hog pen. And you know what? A lot of people end up in the hog pen because they don't make decisions based on the guidance of the Lord. Now understand something. God promises that He will guide you, but you've got to seek Him. And He wants to guide you and help you stay away from being captive to your sin. Israel could have avoided captivity had they listened to the prophets of God. Just think about that. They wouldn't have been ripped from their homes and brought into a foreign country and persecuted if they would have just listened to the Lord. And that's what God wants for you. God wants you to just seek Him. Seek Him for guidance. Say, Lord, I need You. I need You to forgive me of my sins, but I also need You to guide me in a path that doesn't bind me in my sins. It doesn't hinder me from doing the things that You want me to do, and it doesn't hinder me from going into a path that leads to peace and joy. That is what God offers to us. Are you being held captive by sin? Accept God's guidance, and He will lead you out of that captivity. And not only that, the first thing we ought to do when we're faced with decisions as Christians is go to the Lord and seek His guidance. Because we're going to find out in verses 4 through 9 that when we choose to accept God's guidance, He will lead us even in times of bewilderment. We can choose to accept God's guidance or live in bewilderment. Look at verse 4. It says, "The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He awakens me in the morning, morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, nor did I turn away. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who plucked out the beard. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore, I will not be disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I will not be ashamed. He is near who justifies me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near me. Surely the Lord God will help me. Who is he who will condemn me? Indeed, they will all grow old like a garment. The moth will eat them up." Now, we can choose to accept God's guidance or live in bewilderment. We are once again presented with the servant of the Lord, which we understand to be Jesus Christ. As we found out in previous chapters, these verses show us how Jesus was guided by the Lord. You see, this is talking about Jesus Christ. Now, this passage was written several hundred years before Christ actually came to this earth. This is a prophecy about the servant of God, Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. And it is so wonderful to see that God, Jesus, performed this prophecy perfectly. But he performed it because he was guided by God. And even in the most horrific, horrible times of the life of Jesus Christ, he was able to have peace because he was guided by God. And that's what God's guidance will do for us. These verses show us how Jesus was guided by the Lord. Let's take a look at how God guided Jesus. First of all, look at verse 4 again. It says, "The Lord God has given me a tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary." So God teaches us, just like he taught Jesus, how he guided Jesus, and he was able to encourage others. He was able to be an encouragement to others because of the guidance of the Lord. You can be an encouragement to others as well, as you are guided by God. He guided Jesus morning by morning. You see, Jesus, God doesn't want to just guide you one time in your life. He doesn't want to just say to you, okay, I want you to be an astronaut. I want you to be an astronaut. Okay? I'll see you when you get to heaven. All right? That's not how God operates. He doesn't say, okay, I want you to be an astronaut. I'll see you when you get to heaven. There's your guidance for your life. You're done. No. He wants to guide you day by day, morning by morning, moment by moment. He wants to be a part of your life. He wants to be such a part of your life that you are guided by him all the time. Someone said, "He does not lead me year by year, nor even day by day, but step by step my path unfolds. My Lord directs my way." John Oxenham says this, "Not for one single day can I discern my way. But this I surely know, he who gives me the day will show the way. So I securely go." That is our should be our attitude. That day by day, morning by morning, we're seeking the guidance of the Lord. You know what? Have you ever had one of those days where you ran around like a chicken with your head cut off? And at the end of the day, you said, "What in the world did I accomplish? Did I do anything today? I mean, I was busy, but did I do anything?" I mean, I can't stand that. I can't stand it when that happens. We're busy, but you don't feel like you've accomplished anything. Well, you know what? That happens to me when I don't seek the Lord at the beginning of the day. That's when it happens to me. But when I seek the Lord and I say, "Lord, tell me what you want me to do today. Tell me what I can do." And then he recalls things to my mind and I write them down. I make a list and then I do those things. And then at the end of the day, I look at the list and I say, "Ah, yeah, got that done. Got that done. Praise the Lord." And I feel like I've done the Lord's will that day. And that's where the peace of God comes. Understand something. You gain peace from God by knowing you did what he wanted you to. I mean, even if everything turns upside down in your life, if you know that you did what God wanted you to, you can have peace, even though it may be chaos. And that's what we need to understand. That God wants to give us guidance, and that guidance will lead to peace regardless of our circumstances. So let's remember that. That's what God wants. He doesn't want us to live in bewilderment. He doesn't want us to be overwhelmed by our circumstances. He doesn't want us to be lost in a sea of decisions. No, he wants to guide us. He gave Jesus understanding. Prayer was something that helped him in this. He sought the Lord and he got understanding. "The Lord has opened my ear. and I was not rebellious. I did not turn away. You know, someone once said, prayer is preparing to hear the voice of God. And I believe that. As we pray to the Lord, He will open our ears and we will hear His voice of guidance. He gave Jesus guidance through the most difficult time of His life. We all recognize what we see in these verses in verse 6 as what happened to Jesus at His crucifixion. Look what it says, I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who plucked out my beard. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting. For the Lord God will help me. Look at Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. Keep in mind, this passage in Isaiah was written hundreds of years before Christ even came to this earth. Chapter 27, starting in verse 26. Then He released Barabbas to them. And when He had scourged Jesus, He delivered Him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole garrison around Him. And they stripped Him and put a scarlet robe on Him. When they had twisted a crown of thorns, they put it on His head and a reed in His right hand. And they bowed the knee before Him and mocked Him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! Then they spat on Him and took a reed and struck Him on the head. And when they had mocked Him, they took the robe off Him, put His own clothes on Him, and led Him away to be crucified. Before that, we are told in Matthew 26, in verse 67, that they, look at verse 67, it says, Then they spat in His face and beat Him, and others struck Him with the palm of their hands, saying, Prophesy to us, Christ, who is the one who struck you? Wow. All of those prophecies in Isaiah that we just read, in those verses in Matthew, tell us that Jesus fulfilled those. Tell us that He had to go through some horrible times. But I want you to notice something. I want you to notice something. Through the most difficult time in the life of Jesus Christ, while He was offering Himself for a payment for our sins, so that we could have eternal life, He was facing the most horrific time in His life, but He was able to get through it. Why? Because He had the guidance of the Lord. For the Lord God will help me. The Lord God will help me. He knew that God would guide him through it. He knew that God would help him, even in a time when he could have been very bewildered. In a time when he could have been doubting and wondering what in the world was happening in his life. Well, that's the same grace that God wants to give you. When those times come when you are bewildered by your circumstances, when you're facing horrific times, when you're facing a time in your life where it seems like the darkness is surrounding you and you just don't know what to do, God will be your guidance. He will help you through. He will help you just as He helped Jesus through the most difficult time of His life. A situation like this would leave anyone in bewilderment. But remember this, God guided Jesus through the most difficult time of his life, and he will guide you through the most difficult times of your life. That is what we have in Jesus Christ. That is the promised plan of God, that he would guide you and help you in your life. Finally, we can choose to accept God's guidance or live in sorrow. Look at verse 10 in Isaiah chapter 50. It says, who among you fears the Lord? Who obeys the voice of his servant? Who walks in darkness and has no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely upon his God. Look, all of you who kindle a fire, who encircle yourselves with sparks, walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks of your that you have kindled. This you shall have from my hand. You shall lie down in torment. Here we see the Lord explain how we can receive God's guidance. First of all, we fear him. Now, this fear is a reverence of God. Not that you're afraid of him, but you revere him, that you respect him, that you acknowledge that he knows what's best for your life. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's what we are told in the scriptures. So we need to fear God. We need to obey what the Lord tells us. Don't you hate it when you give somebody advice, when you give them guidance, and you know that that's going to be best for them, and then they don't do it? They disregard your guidance, and then they pay the consequences for it? And you're like, what in the world? Well, God demands that we... Well, God not only demands it, but he knows what's best for us. And if we do what he tells us, it's going to work out best for us. And then it says, trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. We need to trust him, that he knows what's best for us. And then hold on to the Lord. We have a responsibility to do what God says. Rely upon God. Now, look at verse 11. It says, we already read it, but what this means is this. You walk in the light of your own fire. Following this light will lead to sorrow. This is what this means. It says, look, you know, you've started a fire for yourself, and you're going by that fire. Maybe you got it, and you're walking around, and all of a sudden, you're just doing this. And you say, I got a light, I can guide my own way. That's the picture here. That's what God's saying. Hey, are you going to go by your own fire? Are you going to just go by what you think? Are you going to say, I will follow whatever I think is right? Well, that's going to lead to sorrow, folks. That's going to lead you to sorrow. It's not going to lead you to peace. God never intended for us as his creation to just follow our own path. Now, you've heard phrases like that, haven't you? You've heard phrases like, oh, follow your own heart. Do what your heart is telling you. Or look within yourself for guidance. We've all heard those phrases, right? They all sound nice, but they will lead you to a miserable existence. They won't lead you to a path of peace and joy. They will lead you to what we see here called torment. That if you follow your own fire, if you follow your own heart, if you follow what's in yourself, it will lead to sorrow. It will not lead to peace and joy and fulfillment in your life. Because we were never intended to be guided by our own selves. Right from the very beginning of creation, God wanted us to be guided by him. And that's what God wants for you now. That you would seek his guidance for your life. God wants to guide you. An old sailor repeatedly got lost at sea. So his friends gave him a compass and urged him to use it. The next time he went out in his boat, he followed their advice and took the compass with him. But as usual, he became hopelessly confused and was unable to find land. Finally, he was rescued by his friends. Disgusted and impatient with him, they asked, "Why didn't you use the compass we gave you? You could have saved us a lot of trouble." The sailor responded, "I didn't dare to. I wanted to go north, but as hard as I tried to make the needle aim that direction, it just kept pointing southeast." And that's what we do a lot of times, don't we? We say, "God, I want your guidance, so long as it's going this way. So long as it's going my way, the way I want to go." Well, that's not how it goes with God. When you seek the Lord's guidance, he's going to give you a direction. But you've got to trust that he is a good compass and that he will lead you in the right direction. And that's what God wants for you. His promise plan, his whole plan involves giving you the guidance that you need in your life. Seek the Lord's guidance. Seek his guidance in your life. And I promise, God promises, that he will lead you in a path that leads to peace and joy.